John chapter 10, we'll start in verse 19. John chapter 10, verse 19, there was a division therefore again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, He hath a devil and is mad, why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe me, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Let's pray. Lord, as we look into these precious words, these holy words, these pure words, may your Holy Spirit guide us and teach us and let us see not the letter, but the spirit of these words. And Lord, I pray that you'd cleanse us in the blood of Jesus Christ. I pray that you'd be, Lord, just amongst us and move freely and don't leave us to ourselves, Lord. We know what we deserve and we know what we end up if we are left to ourselves. And it's because of your mercy you don't leave us to ourselves. And so we ask for your help now. We ask for your guidance. And Lord, may we behold wondrous things out of thy law. May your people be drawn to thee. And Lord, if there's one among us that to this day cannot point to a time where they turned from darkness to light, where they saw the need for salvation in Jesus Christ and became born again, we pray today would be the day of their salvation. We ask it in the name that's above every name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to call your attention to verse 22 and specifically the last few words of the verse. The Bible says, and it was winter. Now, those words give an ominous warning, and you people know a little bit about that season up here. It's in the midst of a joyous feast called the Feast of the Dedication, and you can find out a lot about the history of this thing in the book called the Book of Maccabees, which isn't Bible, but it's some history in it. And Josephus gives some things, a Jewish historian gives some things about it. And what happened was the Syrian army came in and desecrated the temple, destroyed Jerusalem, and took over under a man named Antiochus Epiphanes. And the Maccabees rose up during that time, the name meaning the hammer, Judas, Simon, and a couple of his brothers. And they, through guerrilla-type warfare, defeated the Syrian army against superior odds. They were able, by the Lord's help, obviously, to clear out the place and eventually cleared out the temple area and rededicated that temple. And that's the feast that Jesus Christ is in Jerusalem at, the Feast of Dedication. Today it's called the Feast of Hanukkah, meaning a festival of lights during December time when it, as it says, our passage says, it's winter. And the Jews, even to this day, celebrate the 8-day feast of Hanukkah. In fact, a lot of your Jews that don't even observe Passover will observe the Feast of Dedication when they got their temple back. It's one of the most popular Jewish feasts to this day. And at the time that Jesus Christ is here in John chapter 10, the Jews have already been observing it for about 150 years. And so I want to pay attention and only give you a couple points here about this thing, about that it was winter. And the first thing I want to say is winter must come. There's a cycle of life, and everyone's familiar with it, of four seasons. And the seasons come and go, and they go in a cycle, and as sure as you have a spring, you have to have a winter. Now, spring is the time that's represented by life, by birth, and spring, springs, and it brings out the greenery. It brings out in the warmth after winter's over, the spring comes out. And spring turns into summer, and summer is the time of the strength of life, when the things are all growing strong, and it seems like nothing can stop the summertime, but then the harvest comes to its maturity, and the fall comes, and the harvest is taken, and everything starts to, the greenery starts to turn to brown, and you can see death starting to come. Not quite yet, it's a beautiful time of year with all the colors, but then comes winter. And winter represents the cold blast of death. And the winter, it comes with a blanket of snow. And that's what I want to talk about here, is that winter must come. The Bible says, and it was winter. Now, the plans and hopes that are found in the springtime are made desolate by winter. And I'm sorry, I know it sounds very depressing, but winter is a reminder for you that life here on earth doesn't last forever. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1, the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, so that they're without excuse. So God gives some things in nature to show you some invisible, eternal things about Him. Now, He won't show you the gospel in nature, but He will show you some invisible things about Him, so a man has no excuse. No man, no soul is going to come up at the judgment seat or the judgment, great white throne judgment, and say, well, I didn't know, there was no way I could know there was a God. Does four seasons show you there's a God? God shows you some invisible things. Those four seasons all point that if you're living this life for just now and here, those four seasons are showing you you're wasting your life. Because it ain't going to last forever. Winter comes, and winter must come. What happens? Winter shows man that the uncertainty of life, and how it must come to a close. The winter is not the time of fruit. Now, when I preach this down south, people don't understand what it means to have a blanket of snow and everything being dead. There's so many pine trees down there. They're still green as I'm trying to preach. Listen. Everything dies. Well, the Lord God of the Bible is not a fair weather God. Winter time shows you that. It's not the time of fruit, it's a time of death. And God's a perfect balance. Just as sure as He gives you a springtime with life and greenery, He gives you in nature, a winter. Now, I don't care if you're old or young, winter is a reminder. You better prepare for something that's going to last forever. You better not live your whole life for just here and now. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 18. Last verse in the chapter, Paul says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, winter shows you that. Winter is a time of stoppage. Winter is a time of reflection. Winter actually is a time of death. Now, if you go to the tropical islands, you go to the Caribbean, you go to these really beautiful islands with the water all around and the palm trees and all that, that's not real life. And it's hard to talk to somebody down there. Everything's just so laid back. Oh, yeah, man. Cool, man. Everything's okay, man. No. Winter's coming. And just because you don't see it in the islands, it's still coming. There's a winter coming in your life. You can't lay on the beach forever. That's not life. And God shows you that in the cold climate we speak of bracing for winter. You don't brace for springtime. You welcome it. Spring springs, and you can't wait for it. But winter must come. Let's What's that? I go preach up in Maine somewhere, and they have a diner on the side of the road. We always stop there, and it says, "Come spring." Yeah, come springtime, or come, that's the name of the diner. Come spring, they can't wait for the snows to quit and the springtime to come. Now, winter must come. In the spiritual realm, winter's the time of death. In our passage here in John chapter 10, Israel is celebrating this feast of the dedication in the midst of a joyous feast. Here comes their Messiah being presented to them. The great awaited and prophesied Messiah. The prophets all prophesied of him. Come back to Isaiah. And they prophesied not just of his miracles, but of his rejection. Look at Isaiah 35. Isaiah 35 and verse 5. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall a lame man leap as an harp, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert, and the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons, where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. The Lord's saying, I'm going to restore you. And it's prophesied, this Messiah that's coming, going to restore things and bring life back to you. Look at Isaiah 61. Those Jews had their prophets telling them, when he comes, you're going to see the deaf are going to hear, and the blind are going to see, and the lame man's going to jump, and that's exactly what you see happening in the Gospels. He's trying to show them something. Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now when Jesus Christ reads that in Luke chapter 4, he stops right there. And he doesn't tell him about the destruction, because that's the second advent. What he's doing is he's coming to him with his arms open and showing him, I'm the prophesied Messiah that the deaf are now hearing and the blind see and the lame man's jumping around. And I'm proclaiming liberty to the captives. Now will you receive me? And in a very ominous word, it says, and it was winter. Israel's being presented with that prophesied Messiah, and you know what they do. Look at Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 and verse 3. All prophecy as if it's in the past tense. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now, if you have any sense, you'll read yourself into there. Those are your transgressions. Those are your iniquities he bore. You're the sheep that's gone astray. Now, you ought to know doctrinally that's actually to his sheep, Israel. And in our passage, come back to John chapter 10, rather than receiving him, they try and play games with them, and they end up rejecting them. Look at John chapter 10 and verse 24. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. We just read in Sunday school, they said, Who do you claiming to be? You're not even 50 years old and you're here before Abraham? He says, Before Abraham was, I am. What are you parrying with him like this and playing games with him like this? If you're really the Christ, quit making us doubt. He didn't make you doubt. Jesus Christ was very plain about who he was. They took up stones to stone him when he said, before Abraham was, I am. And he, here you're in John chapter 10, just the previous chapter, John chapter 9, he opened the eyes of a blind man. A man born blind. When did a man ever do that before? If thou be the Christ, quit making us doubt. Tell us plainly. He already has. He's fulfilling prophecy of Isaiah 35. He's fulfilling prophecy of Isaiah 61. And he's now, because he's going to get rejected, he's about to fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah 53 and go bear our iniquities and our transgressions on his back and in his body on that tree. You don't play games with Jesus Christ. He's in the midst of a joyous feast presenting himself, showing who he is. He's already caused the blind eyes to see. He's already caused the lame to walk. And yet, in our passage, in the life of every single soul, winter must come. You can't put it off. Winter's coming. Now, it seems like yesterday I was only 18 and 19 and felt like I could run forever. Winter comes. Winter comes. I'm warning you, winter comes. And it comes quicker than you expect. And the days go by, and the weeks go by, and the months go by, and the years go by, and I'm looking back at where 30, 40, 50 years ago. I was home not too long ago, and I looked at a newspaper, and the clippings in our home town newspaper. My mother-in-law gets a paper, and I opened up to the sports section. It said, 40 years ago, in this town, 40 years ago, Brian Donovan led the high school to... 40 years ago. 40 years ago. Please tell me that's not true. Where'd it go? It's gone. Winter comes. All right, the second thing I want to say, it must not be ignored. Now, Israel's leaders were literally fritting away precious time. He only presented himself for 3.5 years. Look at John chapter 10 and verse 25. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Look at verse 31. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. He's telling them plainly, you want the truth? And in the midst of everything that's going on, the Bible says, and it was winter. Short time, 1260 days. To show himself. It's like I was going over some things in Sunday school this morning. What a great book we have. What a divine book it is. No man would write a book like this. If I wanted to present a leader for you to believe on and follow, I wouldn't skip over 30 years of his life and just show you 3.5 years of his life. And yet that gospel does just that. The gospel you're in does just that. Doesn't tell you anything about him growing up. Just gives you a 30-year-old man coming for 3.5 years, and it's winter. I might be preaching to somebody right now, you better wake up, it's winter. You better not ignore it. The Jesus Christ of the Bible is not the Jesus Christ that gets preached around television and radio and internet. If you're the Christ, tell us plainly, I told you already, and you believe not. You know what Jesus Christ wants you to do? Quit playing around. Quit taking the truth and taking it so lightly. It's winter. In order for any sinner to see a springtime and life, he must come to an agreement with God. You know what happens in the springtime? The winter snows start to melt. And some little leaf pops up, a little greenery here and a little greenery there and a blade of grass here and a blade of grass there and then a flower. What is that? It's a picture of coming up from the dead. Why does God do all that? Because he wants you to get saved. He wants you to see there is a way out of the winter snows. But you have to come to agreement with what he's done for you. You have to take your rightful place as a sinner. Deserving hell. I was talking to someone here this morning. We're both Roman Catholics in our background. I had no problem realizing I was a sinner. I knew I did plenty of stuff wrong. But because of that religion, there was these real bad people, the real mortal sinners, they called them. They went to hell. But us venial sinners, we went to purgatory. And I thought, well, I'll just have to go to purgatory. That's where everyone goes, because then there's another group that's real holy, and I knew I wasn't that. There's these special people that are called saints. I was in the middle. I was a venial sinner. I never killed anybody. That's how low I was. I had to reach that far down. I did plenty of bad stuff. At least I didn't kill anybody. I was a venial sinner. You know what you better do? You better take your place with the bad ones. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. In the Bible, there is no mortal and venial sin. All are in the same boat. The name of that boat is short. You come up short. Maybe you haven't taken another man's life. Maybe you haven't killed anybody. You're still short. And you can't make it. And until you're willing to take that place that God says you're in, you can't be saved. And I said, well, yeah, I'm a sinner, but I'm not that bad. And I rejected the gospel a good 2 or 3 times. And then laying on my bed one night, realized, like a light switch went on, I'm going to hell. I never killed anybody, but I'm still going to hell. Thank God for that light switch. And I know what that light switch was now. It was the Holy Spirit convicting me of my real position before God. Short. God is not like us. He doesn't just say, all right, no big deal, we'll just forget about it. He's holy. He demands a payment for sin, and it pleased Him to bruise His Son for you. And if you don't take your place, it'll please Him to bruise you. Because He is not just going to let sin go by. Your sin must be paid for. And it's going to be paid for by you receiving Jesus Christ, and let Him be your payment. Let Him carry away your iniquities and your transgressions and carry them to hell where God can't ever get to them again. Or you'll go to hell and pay for your own transgressions and your own sins. That's foolish. Why pay when you don't have to? I'll tell you why you'll do it, because of pride. Well, I'm a pretty good guy. I don't believe that. Well, you don't take your place, those winter snows of your sins are going to bury you, and you won't be able to come up, and springtime won't come in your life. Sinner needs someone outside himself. Here underneath those snows might be 2 and 3 feet deep, and way down in there, it's nothing but deadness. How can a seed come up from that? It needs help. It needs a sun. And the sun of righteousness starts melting those snows, and the snows start turning to water and going away, and the sun keeps beating down, and that seed gets help that it needs. And without the sun, it can't come up. And without the sun in your heart, you ain't coming up. You're going down. I don't say that out of any kind of joy. It's real easy to get saved. Admit your need. That's the hardest part to being saved, is admitting you need it. For me, come on, I'm not that bad. Once I saw it, it was easy to get saved. Laying in a bed by myself, no one around, late at night, just soaking wet in sweat, I'm going to hell. And I got by the side of my bed. I said, Lord, I don't know how to pray. I knew Our Fathers and Hail Marys. That's not praying. That's what the Bible calls vain repetitions. And for the first time in my life, I prayed and I said, God, I don't know how to pray. But what that guy showed me in the Bible, I'm in trouble. And I'm on my way to hell. I don't want to go. And I can't save myself. Will you save me? And I don't remember the exact words I said. But it don't matter. I know what I was doing. I was admitting my need. And I was taking God's way out. And I got up off my knees, and I got laid back down in that bed with a soaking wet t-shirt. And just a calmness came over and said, it's all right now. Your sins are gone. I couldn't have turned to one verse in the Bible. I remember what the guy showed me when he turned and showed me the verses, but I couldn't have turned to them. I didn't know where they were. I just knew, thank God, he showed me the gospel. And he showed me my need. Will you admit your need? Or are you going to stay buried under those snows? And it was winter. Will you trust the only one that rose again? Look at John chapter 10 and verse 15. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, that's you and I. He come to his own sheep at house of Israel. And because they wouldn't take him, he has another fold, a bunch of Gentiles, a bunch of lost sinners. He says, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. Jesus Christ laid down his life for you. You'd admit your need and realize what he did for you. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is what you need in your place. You can't come up by yourself. You need a substitute. You need help. Without the Son, there's no resurrection from wintertime. The winter of human life must come and shouldn't be ignored. God gives you a picture of it in your physical life. Some of you know about it. I could tell by looking at you. You look like me. You're not young anymore. And the limbs start hurting. And you don't get out of bed and spring out like you used to. Sometimes they come out one piece at a time. And things hurt. And we're talking about this weekend. You're walking on the ice a little more gingerly than you used to. When you were young, who cares if you fell? You popped right back up. Am I going to break my hip? Winter comes. It has to come. You want to ignore it? You can, but you're a fool. God shows it to you in your own life, in physical life. You're not the youngster you used to be. Your steps falter. Your joints ache. You're unsure of your steps. And listen, in the spiritual life, if you keep resisting God and trying to ignore winter, the age is still coming on you. And the winter's still coming. A man keeps rejecting the truth. It's hard to imagine himself okay when he looks at him at the way his life is going. And he just puts it out of mind. That's one of the things I notice as Catholics we're good at doing. We're good at putting things out of mind. That's why alcohol is used so freely. Helps you put things out of mind. I remember the first time I came across death and my grandfather was in that casket and I was just a little boy and I remember just pulling on my mother's skirt and thinking Grandpa was going to wake up. He's just laying there asleep. And I remember, you know, how quiet it is. They call him awake. Oh, I don't know why they call it awake. He's not waking. And you go in there, and it's real quiet in the room, and I tug on my mother's skirt and say, Mom, is Grandpa going to get up? Shh, shh, shh. What's he doing? What's he thinking? Shh, shh, quiet. It's a solemn time. Yeah, it is. Death is a solemn time. Time to think. Good time to think. But a little boy couldn't get any answers. And I watched as the whole family went out and went back to the house and the liquor came out. Good time to think. What are you bringing liquor out for? Because you don't want to think of yourself in that casket. You don't want to think about what happens when I get there. Well, that's why God chose you, winner. That you're going to be there one day. You getting ready? You okay? You can try and slough it off and drink all the liquor you want, but you know if you're okay or not. You can fool other people, but you're not going to fool God. Are you okay? How many souls today are going to step out into the winter and convince that they're good, moral people and it'll be all right, and they wake up in hell? How many souls step out into the winter and hoping, well, maybe God will be merciful and he'll be all right with me? And they wake up in hell. How many souls step out into that winter and say, well, maybe it's not like the Bible says, it's not going to be that bad, and wake up in hell screaming and gnashing of teeth, never to get out. Many step out waiting too long. Now they can no longer grasp the words. They've rejected it for so long and seared their conscience for so long that the dead of winter is the hardest time to start beginning anything. A lot of flights get canceled in the winter and then it's too late. Back in December, I was trying to get a flight out and I was all prepared. I was packed. I went to the airport. Sorry, too much ice on the wings. We can't get out. Cancel a flight. Yeah, but I'm ready. Too late. Can't do anything about it. Don't wait till then. May an aged soul in the winter of life looks back and tries to claim some victories and all they can see is defeat. And they harden their hearts against the truth and they try and convince themselves that their life is okay and they realize it's too late. How often the aged man is put off salvation for so long that he now gets folded into a coffin with hands that can no longer grasp onto that money he loved so much. He has to let it go. Why? Because it's winter. Winter has come. How many times a pretty woman has turned into an aged, wrinkled woman and now they lay her in a coffin with the jewelry she loved so much and her prettiest dress that she loved so much, but she can't hold on to it. It means nothing now. The latest fashions of dress and jewelry just hang on a cold body now. Why? Because it's winter. Because winter has come. And every once in a while, one here and one there will let go of their pride. And let go of continuing to do it their way and take God's way. And winter still comes, but the vast majority refuse the truth. If you keep waiting and the winter snows start falling, it'll get harder and harder. It'll get colder and colder. A few years ago, my wife and I went up north and she had a 99-year-old aunt, Roman Catholic aunt. She wrote her a letter years ago and witnessed to her and she thought my wife had lost her mind. You're crazy to believe that. You must come to the Mother Church and stay with Mother Church. And we went up to go talk to her and my wife sat down with her 99-year-old aunt, wintertime, and talked to her again and gave her the gospel and she got saved in that room. The day before, I led her 89-year-old uncle to the Lord. He got all excited. He called me after I left the house and he said, "Brian, I did it." And I wanted to see what he'd say. I said, "You did what?" "I trusted Christ like the thing showed me." He read a chick track after I witnessed to him. I said, "Uncle Steve, just go ahead when you're done at the last page there, if you agree with what's there, go ahead and do that." And he called me up and said, "Brian, I did it." 89 years old. Yeah, but not many. Most by the time they're 89 and 99. Winter's come. One time I was preaching in a small church down in South Florida and I'm just preaching at Christians. I preach that church every year for, 28 years now, something like that. And I know all the people there and I really didn't pay attention, but there was one visitor there, but I really didn't notice. And I preached a message just at Christians and when I was done, I was about to close and I got this real strong urge to give an invitation. And so I just gave the gospel real quick, and I said, "Now if you need to be saved, I'll be glad to take some time with you." And right in front of the people there, this guy that I didn't even notice he was a visitor, 94-year-old World War II pilot. When I gave that invitation, he got out of his chair and walking like this, he said, like no one else was in the room, he said, "Sir, can I talk to you?" I said, "Sure." I turned the thing over to the pastor, I walked in a side room with him, and he said, "I know you have better things to do than this, but I need some help." I said, "I don't have anything better to do." He told me about how he was bombed over, left over Berlin and dropped bombs, a World War II pilot dropping bombs over Berlin. And he got through all that, and here he is, 94 years old. And he said, I never heard that before. And I said, well, let me make sure you understand. And I told him about how he's going to go to hell, and it didn't matter what he had done in his life, and God would forgive him if he'd turned to Jesus Christ. And he started crying, and he said, I know you have better things to do to mess with me. He said, but I need to be saved. 94-year-old World War II pilot, after going through all that, trusted Jesus Christ in that little office. The next year I went back and I asked the pastor, where is he? He died. What a merciful God. There's a man born here and 94 years go by, and just before winter is done, he's going to go off the cliff and go down. The Lord picks him up and saves him. It's winter, but I have to warn you, those are the exception. I wish I could tell you about hundreds of people in their 90s and 99 and 89 getting saved, but I can't. They're the exception, not the rule. I told you the other day how I used to work for this caterer and all these wedding receptions. I heard Frank Sinatra's song so many times I'm sick of it. It's still burned in my mind. Every wedding reception, how I did it my way. Yeah, you did, Frank. And you refused to bow, didn't you, Frank? I faced it all and I stood tall and did it my way. For what is a man and what has he got? If not himself, then he has naught to say the things he truly feels and not the words of one who kneels. The record shows I took the blows and did it my way. But what the world doesn't see, they just see this tough man with his mafia connections and his millions of bucks. They don't see this tough man at a dinner party with a drink in his hand, staring out the window, not interested in the guests and not interested in talking to anybody and just alone. And Frank did it his way. And he refused to bow and kneel. And the winter snows of his sins buried him. And Frank found out too late, you don't do it your way, you do it God's way. Are you saved? If you're saved, winter's still coming. The long, cold winter nights with their pains and their tears and their heartaches and their sicknesses. Winter still comes if you're saved. But thank God, it comes to an end. The Son of God, with His eternal warmth, His eternal springtime, picks you up. You know, over these last few years, I've had some chances to be at some deathbeds and hold the hands of some people and watch them go off. And what a blessing to watch a saint of God go off. I told you how my mother went off last night. My mom went off ready, saved, and the Lord picked her up. Are you ready? The open arms of God must eventually close. And right now, during this church age, His arms are wide open. Whosoever will, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. His arms are open. You say, oh, preacher, you don't know what I've done. I don't need to know what you've done. I don't really care. It doesn't matter how bad. His arms are open. The blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse you from all sin. Venial, mortal, there's no difference. He'll cover them all. He'll cleanse you of all of them. But you must come. While His arms are open, because as much as I hate to say this, and some of you might not take it right, those arms are closing. And one day they're going to be so closed that if you come and wait till winter's past, you're going to say, oh, I'm ready now, and He's going to say, ha, 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 ha. He's going to laugh when your fear comes. I'm giving you Bible, not my opinion. He's a holy God. And Proverbs chapter 1 says, because you refuse my counsel, you wouldn't take what I gave you, then I'll laugh when your fear comes. I'll mock at your calamity. That's the holy God you have to deal with. And I'm telling you right now, his arms are open. As long as you're breathing, his arms are open. But if you wait, his arms close. You can cry all you want. Right now there's people in hell crying, screaming, wishing they could get out. God, I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. Come on, let me out. And God can't even hear them. His arms are closed. Too late. There does come a time when it's too late. If you're going to take flight to heaven, you better take it while his arms are open. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul says, come before winter. Whatever you do, you better do it before winter comes. Because those winter snows are coming and they're going to bury you. And you won't get out from under them unless you take the Son of God. Christ died for you, the just for the unjust, that he might bring you to God. And if you reject him, he will reject you. He doesn't want to. It's not his will to reject you, but it's your choice. He did his part. And with open arms, he says, will you come? Well, I think my religion's pretty good. Then you reject him. Come unto me. I don't think I'm that bad a person. I don't think I'm really going to hell. Then you're rejecting him. And those arms close. And you will die and be buried under the winter snows, and you won't come up. You will go to hell. I don't relish saying that. It's been a long time ago. Many years ago now, after witness to my father 2, 3, 4 times, I let some time go by and he was getting bad in health, still a young man. His first heart attack came when he was only 40 years old. By the time he was 52, he was already in bad health. And he died at 55. Before he died, I went one last time to him in tears. And I said, Dad, I got to tell you something. And I gave him the gospel like I'd never given it to him before, like I'd never even said anything to him before. I just started from scratch. And then I appealed to him, and out of a broken heart, with tears in my eyes, and he said, Brian, take that Bible and go to hell. And my dad died at 55. For weeks after that, I'd wake up in the middle of the night with my dad's face coming out of flames and screaming. Couldn't shake it. What'd it do? It made me a better witness. Can't win my dad, then I better win someone else's. Can't win my dad, then I better go after somebody else. Well, the arms are still open. Because those arms close. God help you, you come before winter. Because winter's coming. Let's bow our heads.